we're going to talk tonight, not a long word, but it's going to be a strong word. I know some of you have come to be filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time, and that's going to happen here in a few moments. And if you weren't here Wednesday night, you might want to go back and listen to that teaching. But we tonight are going to emphasize the Holy Ghost and fire. Don't forget the fire. You know, a lot of people have said, well, I got born again, and then I got filled with the Spirit, and I said a few words in tongues, and that's great. That's a good jumping off starting place, but that shouldn't be where we stop. We need to hunger for more, and we need to realize on the day of Pentecost, the Bible's very clear, we'll look at it here in a minute, that they were filled with the Holy Ghost and is a conjunction, and it adds more to it. Holy Ghost and fire. Amen? So we want to look. We'll just start, of course, in Acts chapter 2. We want to do a little review of some things maybe that we said Wednesday night. But the day of Pentecost was actually a holy feast day. The streets of Jerusalem were packed with people coming to celebrate this feast day. And it was an appointed time, a moed, that the Holy Spirit should descend and fill those first 120 believers on that day. And also, it was reminiscent of the first Pentecost, was when the law was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. And if you go and study that out, what happened when Moses went up to the mountain and received the Ten Commandments? It says that the whole mountain was covered with smoke. The whole mountain, there was thunder, there was lightning. And what happened was it brought the folks to a new, higher revelation of who God was and how to walk with Him, how to live for Him. So here, when these 120 got filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll see in the Word of God that it was accompanied with fire, hallelujah, and it brought the church, this new church, to a higher level in God. Well, they were the beginning of the church age. We're here at the end, and like I said earlier, we want more, don't we? We don't want to get less than what they had to start out the church age. We want more, hallelujah. So let's see what happened here in this initial outpouring in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Notice, first of all, it was a sound from heaven. Those of you that have come to be filled know that you are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit from heaven. Hallelujah. It's not from man. It's not from hell. Like I said on Wednesday night, some people down through the ages, maybe not so much now, but they used to say speaking in tongues is of the devil. Well, if speaking in tongues is of the devil, why aren't the worst criminals, you know, that are in solitary confinement, why aren't they all praying in tongues? No, from heaven. Hallelujah. And then it says that suddenly he was ready to come and take charge of the church. He was ready to come and fill those believers, have them be endued with a new power from on high. And then it also says it was a mighty rushing wind. You've seen how powerful wind can be. Have you ever seen pictures when somebody's out on the news covering a hurricane? And I always wonder what bad thing they did to get that excitement. I mean, you know, they're like, they can't even hardly hold themselves up. The force of that wind is overwhelming them. Well, this mighty wind of the Holy Spirit, He will overwhelm us. He will consume us. Hallelujah. With God Himself. So we see He came suddenly. We see It was a mighty wind, a sound from heaven. And it was so powerful, it filled the whole house where they were sitting. I'm sure the whole place began to shake. It's awesome. We've seen people when they get under the power of the anointing and power of God that people sometimes begin to shake. But I believe we're coming into a season where whole buildings are going to shake. And not because we live in California and not because it's an earthquake, but the power of God so fills this place. And we've already known of people, we've known of churches where it was like a fire came and sat on top of the church. I was listening recently to Dad Hagen, and he was giving an account of a pastor friend of ours in Kansas. They were having a wild service in there, and the Holy Ghost was just moving in that place. And all of a sudden, they hear the sound of fire trucks. People in the neighborhood had literally seen a big flame on the top of that church and called the fire department. They came in and they looked everywhere and they didn't find any natural fire, but they found the fire of God. Hallelujah. Lord, let it be so. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to speak. Let's read verse 3. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire. One sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit gives us utterance, but it's our tongue. We must do the speaking. A good friend of ours, Lynn Hammond, a few years ago, she was praying, and it was during the night, and the Lord said, get up and write this down. And he told her this, and I love this. He said, tongues is the language of heaven. It is downloaded in your spirit at the reception of the Holy Spirit or baptism of the Holy Spirit. When this language is received, this language flowing through you will change the world and change you because it is accompanied by the fire of God. Aren't you glad we get to be changed? Hallelujah. I was thinking about this today. There's a lot of people in the Bible that we have accounts how they were changed by coming in contact with God. But one of the greatest example is Peter. Peter was the one that denied the Lord 3 times. You know, oh no, Lord, I won't deny you. And Jesus turns to him and says, oh yeah, before the cock, if you don't know, that's a rooster. Before the rooster crows 3 times, you're going to deny me 3 times. But what happened? He went from becoming a denier to a preacher and a prophesier after one encounter with the Holy Ghost and fire. We got to look at just a little bit of this. We're in Acts chapter 2, so jump down to verse 14. But this is after the Holy Spirit had descended upon them. And Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and he said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the 3rd hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. So Tony, now that you're older, which one are you? Are you seeing visions or dreaming dreams? Anyway, we just want to find out how old you are. Because it says your old men are going to dream dreams anyway. But the point in this passage is this. When I read just that first part that we read there in verse 14, Peter standing up. Peter had not been standing up. Can you imagine the remorse and the regret that he had been dealing with? How would you like it to be in the Bible and known down through the ages that you are Peter the denier? The one that couldn't stand up in front of a little girl and say that you knew Jesus. That had to be some issues that he was dealing with. But when the Holy Ghost came up on him, he didn't talk about that. He didn't have to go into counseling for 20 years. He didn't get up and say, yes, I'm the one that denied the Lord. I'm so sorry I did. I feel really bad about it. No, his past was gone. He knew he had been changed into another person. I love that it starts off. I mean, it didn't have to tell us that. It could have just said Peter started preaching. But I love that it says he stood up. He stood up on the outside and boldly began to declare the word of God, because he was no longer down on the inside. He was up on the inside. He was filled up with the Holy Ghost on the inside. He'd come in contact with that spirit of might, the spirit of ability, the spirit of strength, the fire of God. Would to God, and it's happening all across the world, and it's happening in this place, but would to God, more believers stand up on the inside. Stand up for what's right. Stand up for the word of God. Stand up and declare what says the Bible. Amen. Stand up in prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand up and cry out for revival. Without an encounter of the Holy Ghost and fire, Peter would not have been able to do what he did. But he had that encounter. And one dose of the Holy Ghost and fire changed him into another person. He didn't mention his failures. Like I said, he became a prophesier. He said, this is that. Yes. Spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that. Fell on the day of Pentecost. He knew what day it was. He knew the Old Testament. He knew this was a fulfillment. Hallelujah. That he was standing in a prophecy coming to pass. Glory to be to God. If you aren't here this morning, go back and listen to that. Some of you are in a time of standing, but it shall all come to pass. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What was the result of that one sermon? 3,000 people, probably more than that, received Jesus. Glory to God. He was touched on the inside, and his tongue became like the pen of a ready writer, declaring the gospel to all that were there. I believe that's you, and that is me. We, as believers, especially at the end of this age, the time, the season, the place that we live in, we need to be fire starters, fire facilitators, not fire extinguishers. We don't ever want to be accused of putting the fire out. Our spiritual dad, our father, Dad Hagin, he used to say, don't be afraid of a little fanaticism. There's always plenty of wet blankets around to put it out. No, we're not putting out any fire here. Now, we're not encouraging being getting in the flesh. But we are saying we want the real. We don't want any strange fire. We don't want any weird deals. But we want the Holy Ghost and fire. I heard someone say last night when I was listening to them, it's a lot easier to cool down a fanatic than to heat up a corpse. Well, I I see everybody in here is breathing real good right now. Everybody in here is alive. And how many of you are a fanatic for Jesus? You know, the first part of fanatic is just fan. Are we a fan of Jesus? Woo! Hallelujah. Don't be concerned about getting too fanatical. Hallelujah. Lord, turn up the fire in us, on us, and flowing through us. Even in the natural, man has always been fascinated and attracted to fire. You know, you may have done that recently. You hear a fire truck and you're like, ooh, let's turn around, see what's on fire. Well, you know, we're just kind of that way. But we're not talking about a natural fire. We're talking about a spiritual fire. And when you get on fire, being baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, yes. Guess what? People are going to be attracted to you. They're going to come and watch you burn. Ha! Hallelujah. There was a young man by the name of George Whitfield. He was a major part of the Great Awakening in America in the 1730s. He preached to masses when he was 22 years old. And this is what he was known as. He was known as the awakener and the fire bringer. That's a good thing. The awakener and the fire bringer. And this is documented. Benjamin Franklin, anybody ever heard of him? He confessed that he often went to hear him preach. He said this, because I could watch him burn before my very eyes. Woo! Hallelujah! Maybe that's where Benjamin Franklin got the idea of the lightning rod. George may have looked like he had a hold of a power line, which he did. So thank you, Benjamin Franklin. Thank you, George Whitfield, for inspiring him to invent electricity. We'd all look a lot different tonight if we didn't have blow dryers and curling irons. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We need the fire. We need the electricity. That's for sure. Amen. Amen. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is accompanying with fire. I could give you more accounts. I want to give you one more. Luke 3:16. John answered, and he said to them all. This is John the Baptist. They're coming and they're saying, you know, are you the one? There's another baptism they're talking about. Jesus is here. Is he taking your place? And this is what John said. He answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. Read that last line with me, that last sentence. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. This fire that we're talking about comes from God Himself. Hebrews 12:29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. And there are destructive fires that happen all the time. But this fire of God is not destructive. It's only destructive to hindrances, weights, and sins. But this fire of God on the inside of us is consuming. And when it gets burning on so big on the inside of you, I believe that we are going to become like the prophet of old. And we're going to be saying, woo! It's just like fire. Shut up in my bones, and I cannot keep it to myself. We're not supposed to try to hide the Holy Ghost. He's not an afterthought. We're not supposed to say, well, let's just put him over here in this one little group. Once in a while, we can pray in tongues. No! Being filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. It's one of the greatest privileges, one of the greatest rights of being a believer. When Dad Hagin, he had many visions of Jesus. And in one of his visions, Jesus spoke directly to him. And he said, it is my will under the new covenant that every believer be filled with the Holy Spirit. We see it in the Word of God. And Brother Hagin was a notable man of God, notable prophet. Jesus saying that directly to him, that even gives it more precedence. We want all that He has for us. Hallelujah. God is a consuming fire. He wants us consumed with Himself. Someone on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Someone on the inside, working on the outside. It affects change in our lives. I'm here tonight. We're going to lay hands on folks here in just a little bit for to be filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time. But there are also believers in here that you need fresh fire. We continually need to come in contact with the fire of God and keep ourselves stirred up. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 in the Amplified, it says, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. It's not a compliment if a teacher calls you up and says, your kid is lagging behind. You don't go, oh, good, that's great news. No, it's not. Because the word lag means to fall behind, to move slower than expected, to wane in intensity. When it comes to the things of God, we don't have to lag behind. We don't have to lose our intensity. Today, Brother Moore said in the beginning of his message, we don't want to fizzle out. And it reminded me, years ago, Pastor and I did a marriage conference, and the title of it, don't let your sizzle fizzle. We don't want our sizzle to fizzle in our relationships. We don't want our sizzle, our red hot fervency, to get lagging behind and to fizzle. Sizzle means to be extremely hot. And I like this one. To make a hissing sound when it comes in contact with fire. Well, I know what that sizzle sounds like. Growing up in Oklahoma, I've said this before. If it was eatable, it was friable. Whatever it was, just dump it in the grease and let it fry it up. Baby, fry. And that is a sizzling sound. But for all of us, we ought to have that sizzle in our spirits. Amen. So we're going to lay hands on folks for that area as well, that there would be a refiring, a refueling, and a rekindling. 2 Timothy 1:6 in the Amplified. That is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers up, fan the flame, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by the means of the laying on of my hands. Stir it up. We've got all the right ingredients on the inside of us. We've got the Father. We've got the Son. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've got the Word of God. And we need to allow the fire to come in and stir up all those things that are on the inside of us. I'll brag on myself here just for a moment, if you don't mind. Brother Moore was coming to town. He was just his great blessing. And in years past, I have made cookies. And so it was kind of like, oh, by accident, Mike Canada, his assistant, was all, well, you know, he loves your cooking. So I'm like, Friday night, really? But anyway, I got all the ingredients and I'm stirring them up. You can have all the right ingredients, but if they would have just stayed sitting there in my pan, it would not have come out a delicious chocolate chip cookie. You got to stir them up. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. Amen. He comes on all that's already in there and He stirs us up. Hallelujah. To the point that it begins to flow out of us. fan the flame. Rekindle the embers. The embers are a piece of wood that might be smoldering in a fire. And it looks like the fire is completely gone out. But as long as there's just an ember, as long as there's any sign that this fire could be rekindled. Why did he say, fan the flame? Reminds me of my dad. He liked our little farmhouse hot. And yeah, Pastor can attest to that. He'd be out in the cold working all day. And when he'd come in, I mean, we might be hot already, but we're going to get a big fire. And it would look like maybe the fire has about gone out. But he'd open up the door on that wood stove and he's like, oh, there's an ember in there. And you know what the first thing he'd do? Reminds me why it says fan the flame. He'd do this. And you know what happens when you blow on an ember? It ignites. It will ignite again. You put a little kindling on there, and the next thing you know, you've got a roaring fire. We already read it here in Acts chapter 2. The wind, the mighty rushing wind of the Holy Spirit blew in there. And tonight, the wind of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to breathe on some embers, Christina. You're already a little firebrand. I know you are. But maybe Mom needs it. I don't know. The wind of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Blow on us. Rekindle. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.